This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM and WBBMNewsRadio.com.
WBBM News Time 12:03. It is Columbus Day, the 8th of October, and welcome to the Noon Business Hour. I'm Nick Young.
I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got flood warnings persisting for the Fox and Des Plaines rivers today. Warm and humid for this time of year. Some sunshine, a high of 83, 76 degrees right now at O'Hare, 75 at the lakefront.
And let's check on the very latest market news now as we call upon Lisa Parenti. Good afternoon, Lisa.
Hey there, Nick and Chris. Well, we are headed lower again after the big sell-offs that we saw at the end of last week. The Dow is down 149 points right now or more, and we've got the NASDAQ down 121 points, S&P falling 19. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is off 0.2%. Stocks are trading on a normal scheduled day, but the bond markets are closed for Columbus Day. It's significant because it was the bond market that's been packing the wallop for Wall Street. Seven-year highs in U.S. Treasury yield siphoned investors away from stocks late last week, and that's what caused the 2 days of steep selling. Crude oil futures down about 0.5% to $73.90 a barrel. Back to you, Nick and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, who's afraid of rising yields? A new video device from Facebook and what millennials should know about retirement. Also, of course, your chance to win $1,000. That's coming up in this half hour.
Making sense of your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There are privacy concerns about a new video calling feature involving Facebook and Amazon's personal assistant, Alexa. We're going to be covering that in our next segment. Right now, the week ahead will include reports on several key measures of inflation, plus the unofficial start of earnings season. We're joined by Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Tom, we're hearing a lot about rising yields. Tell us what the problem is or isn't.
Yields today, right? The Columbus Day holiday, things should allow us to take a breather on bond interest rates. But maybe that's why we're seeing kind of the whipsaw action in the stock market today, is because they don't have the active yield to kind of go after from the sell-off that we saw in bonds and the rise in yields we saw late last week. Part of it is, Chris, I think, growing concern, obviously, the Federal Reserve signaling that it may not be done raising interest rates. The jobless numbers that came out on Friday of last week still are very healthy, 3.7% unemployment rate, hourly wage growth of close to 3% year over year, not quite there yet. And you mentioned the inflation number later this week. The bond sell-off that we saw gathering steam late last week, pushing interest rates up to multi-year highs. What it does is it creates an environment, frankly, that a lot of investors haven't seen for a good number of years, especially ahead of the third quarter earnings season due to begin later this week with some big banks coming in on Thursday. So some profit taking is what that equals today from the big high flyers we've seen, especially in technology, Amazon, Netflix, Microsoft, Apple, really pushing the market lower today.
There were very good numbers last week for stocks, and people are wondering if we're a little too hot right now.
You know, it's funny. The week ahead column that I wrote this week was, is great going to be good enough for earnings season? The stock market here has been very, very healthy throughout the summer months. We have seen really a lack of volatility and growing economic numbers here that show a real underlying growth. Now, the headlines, trade war with China, trade war with the EU, strong dollar hurting American exports, the political divisiveness on Capitol Hill, really challenging whether or not a tax cut 2.0 could get in place before the election, and of course the election itself. So a lot of uncertainties out there. And then added on top of that now, this interest rate move higher up to levels we haven't seen in, I think it's, what, 7-8 years or so, and moving there very quickly has provided a bit of a cautious tone, shall I say, diplomatically. For some investors, it said, listen, we're gonna move away from these big high flyers here that have been fueling the gains, especially in the technology sector.
Now, Tom, you mentioned China. Let's drill down a little bit deeper. China says it's not particularly concerned about a trade war, but perhaps their actions, some of them at least, indicate otherwise. What's your view?
Nick, I think that's absolutely spot on. Like a number of diplomats and trade officials, you're going to say one thing rhetorically, but you may be doing something else back home. And I think what we saw over the weekend with the Chinese government reducing the amount of cash that Chinese banks need to hold back effectively becomes an interest rate cut, a so-called interest rate cut in China, which signals the fact that the Beijing government continues to be concerned about the softening of the Chinese market. And we saw a sell-off in China today. That has been pointed to by some as a place of weakness here in the United States as well, or a reason for a bit of a sell-off. But we're not seeing any active, real deep dialogue between the United States and China. The trade rhetoric has remained very strong. And it appears, again, by the actions that China is taking, that they are doing additional activities in order to try to soften any blow that the Chinese economy may be feeling.
Certainly, Tom, I think people want to know, when is it going to start to impact me?
Well, listen, all of those Christmas and holiday items that folks want to be buying online or in stores, for that matter, they're either on the cargo ships right now, headed to the West Coast, or they're already coming into warehouses as inventory. And odds are retailers may see themselves having a bit more price flexibility this year because of the cost of those goods. So I think that's the place to really see it in terms of the consumer level.
Well, Tom, we always appreciate your expertise. Thank you very much for joining us on the Noon Business Hour today. Tom Hudson, the Week Ahead columnist, McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. And coming up next, Facebook deals with fears of privacy and invasion as it releases a new feature for use with Amazon's Alexa. We'll get to that.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Facebook is taking pre-orders for a new voice-controlled video calling device for use with Amazon's electronic personal assistant, Alexa. Let's talk with Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, tell us about this event.
It's an event and a product both. Anytime Facebook rolls out hardware, which is incredibly, incredibly rare, it's definitely an event. The fact is that basically in the headwinds of the bad news they've been getting about hacks and so forth, Facebook is launching something called Portal and Portal Plus. And basically, they're trying really hard to emphasize the idea that it is nothing more or less than a video phone. So that if you want to have conversations with your Facebook friends, and of course, as you said, it's Alexa enabled, so you can speak to it to make it launch. But if you want to talk to your Facebook friends, it's just a phone. But it's a video phone, and it has some very, very powerful software and hardware in it. Among other things, cameras that follow you when you walk around the room a little bit, so you don't have to be in front of it. It will follow you as you keep talking. It will identify, other people in the room if you want them to be. If they start talking, they become focused on, and so forth. So there are some benefits, but that's the idea.
What about privacy concerns?
Well, those are immediate. In other words, the privacy concerns are first and foremost among Facebook customers everywhere, especially again given the news about data breaches and so forth, and some people's feeling about Facebook as a digital citizen. But the privacy concerns include the idea that, look, there's a high-def display, which is what they call 720p, so it's a very beautiful image, but there's also a camera. If it's following you around and you're wondering about what's being shared, Facebook is adamant that they are not going to be sharing any of these images. They're not going to be using facial recognition software and so on, but that is a major concern.
Well, yes, Paul. And it would seem that perhaps no good time is right for Facebook to do something like this, given the privacy concerns, but especially in light of what has been going on the last few days. The timing seems curious. I mean, this has been set to roll out at this particular moment?
Yes. First of all, it's a good point, although you should be, everybody and people who are launch hardware are aware that sometimes you can't control the news around the almost unchangeable chain that results in a hardware release. So they definitely planned on the release about now. They certainly did not plan on a data breach or a hack. But that said, is it inopportune? Sure. But it is one of the things that I will say that recommends it is its simplicity. In the end, it's sort of like anybody who's old enough like I am who to remember the Jetsons, and way back even in the 20s when people were talking about this sort of idea, this magical idea of a video phone, Jules Verne type mentions of people talking to other through screens. Look, this is a dream of a lot of people, and a simple video-to-video match is really a nice idea, and it is simple, and it's beautiful in terms of image. But in the end, I think privacy concerns may trump the results here.
I think some people wish they were living with the Flintstones rather than the Jetsons with some of this. But I don't know if we mentioned this or not. What are the price tags on these devices?
Sure. Portal, which is a smaller device that can only be in one mode, which is a portrait mode, is $199. Portal Plus can turn it so it's in landscape mode and sort of 10, you know, what we sort of 16 by 9 normal TV size, and that's $349.
What progress is being made, by the way, on the problems last week with the 50 million people?
Oh, well, you know what? The progress that's being made that I've seen is are experts who monitor this carefully, some of whom I know, and they're basically saying, look, the biggest challenge is not just turn off your Facebook account and log back in and you've solved your initial problem. A lot of people don't know, though, that when they do log into other services and you are given the option to log in via your Facebook account, that actually opens up all those other services to the same hack. So what the security advisors and experts I've talked to have said, look, the number one way to get it go against this hack is to A, log out of your Facebook account, log back in if you want to do that, and B, don't log into other services using your Facebook credentials. That's the best way to sort of stop this where it started.
Well, that's very interesting, if not disquieting. Paul, thank you very much for joining us today. Paul Hawkman, the president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Mass. Now, coming up still ahead, making sure your retirement savings are on the right track. WBBM News Time 12:25 as we check the very latest market news now with Lisa Parenti. Oops.
6,314. The NASDAQ is down as well, falling 123 points, and the S&P lower by 1.5%, or make that 19 points or 0.2%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 0.2%. In recent years, Target has beefed up its stores with sections designed to compete with grocery chains and discount furniture sellers. And here comes its latest salvo. It's aimed at dollar stores. Target is introducing Smartly. It's a line of essential and personal care products mainly priced under $2 for the budget-conscious consumers who don't want to buy in bulk. Crude oil futures lowered today, down about 0.5% and moving below $74 a barrel. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Heavy rains across the Midwest with additional rains on the way has been the supportive feature. The USDA is closed today for the Columbus Day holiday. The crop conditions and weekly export inspections report will be delayed until tomorrow. Corn and bean harvest expected to come in at 31% to 35% complete as a nation. Corn futures are 2 to 2.5 cents lower, beans 0.5 to 1 cent lower, and the wheat market 6 to 7 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Nick Young.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are operating in the red at this hour. We will see what is moving Wall Street.
And saving for retirement is a lifelong effort. We're going to learn how to put down a solid foundation early in the game.
A vigil is held for a promising Chicago public high school senior killed when gunfire erupts on a South Side street.
President Trump says he doesn't have plans to fire Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein.
And checking the latest market numbers right now, the Dow is down 130 points, the NASDAQ off 121, and the S&P 500 down 19.
So stocks are starting the week on a down note. We are joined by Randall Golden, co-founder of Vivaldi Capital Management here in Chicago. And we were also down last week at the end of the week. Randall, what's going on here?
I think we still have a hangover left from last week. You know, to quote a famous CCR song, you know, bad moon arising. We have interest rates on the rise here. And that is severely altering people's perceptions on what may be happening with the economy and what may be happening with the markets itself.
Is the Fed in on this too? Is it concerned?
Well, you know, it's expected, or at least Goldman Sachs is coming out and saying that they expect the Fed to raise interest rates five more times before the end of 2019. So, yes, they do have concern, and they've been acting accordingly by raising short-term interest rates.
So tell us what could happen if it's not attended to.
Well, first of all, I'm sure it will be attended to. But, you know, if the history repeats itself, is the future redundant? You know, I'm not saying that there's anything really that wrong right now, but and 2018 may very well end with a flurry, as you have portfolio managers and retail investors do so-called window dressing and buying stocks that performed well for the year to try and catch those last-minute gains. But, you know, 2019 is going to be extremely more challenging. With rising interest rates environment, there becomes a point where investors want to de-risk their portfolio and not carry the same amount of risk by investing in stocks when they can be compensated with a lower risk instrument, i.e. bonds, at a decent rate of return. So, you know, once we cross that fulcrum or that level, which most people say will be around 3.5%, and we're not there now, we're still about 25 to 30 basis points away from there on the 10-year, that could portend to be negative for the market.
Now, Randall, maybe we could focus in a little bit more closely on which sectors are performing pretty well in this market and which are not doing so well.
Well, if you want to look at just today, there's really nothing that's doing that well with the exception of industrials based on the GE news that came out today. You know, tech for the year, you know, has probably been the best performing along with energy as a sector-specific return. But once again, that's more of a growth tilt and specifically tech relating to those what's called the FANG stocks. You know, your Facebook, your Alphabet, your Netflix, and your Google. So that's been performing well along with energy for the year. But, you know, once again, going forward, you know, in a rising interest rate environment and if the economy starts to slow, you know, technology will probably be one of the first sectors that kind of, for lack of a better term, may roll over a bit. And you're seeing it today and you saw it last week.
If we, if anyone has won the $1,000 that we were giving away last hour, about 10 or 15 minutes ago, as a matter of fact. What, and that person wanted to know how to invest that $1,000. What would you say?
A, congratulations. B, what's your time perspective or your horizon? So if you have a long-term perspective, you know, 25 years or greater, you know, absolutely, and you can handle the risk and the volatility, you need to invest that money in the market. And to choose one individual stock would be extremely difficult to do. So buying a broad-based ETF or index-based position on something that you understand and that you're comfortable with is really the appropriate rate for that $1,000. But if you have a short-term perspective, you may as well just leave it in cash because people are starting to be compensated for cash these days.
Well, let's say you had a little bit more than that $1,000. Let's say you won Mega Millions, which is $470 million. Any tips there for us, Randall?
Yeah, don't do anything for the first 6 months. Take a deep breath, relax, you know, consult and surround yourself with people that are smarter than yourself and figure out a way to not only impact yourself and future generations to come, but impact others. And that's really what's important when you come into an extreme amount of money such as what you're talking about.
Okay, Randall, thanks so much for joining us today. Randall Golden, co-founder of Vivaldi Capital Management here in Chicago. Coming up, keys to making sure that you have the money you need to retire.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
One of the most important factors in a successful retirement is to get a savings plan going early. Let's talk about some of the fundamentals with Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Chicago, in Oak Brook, Illinois. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Mark. Let's talk about how soon we should be starting this.
Great to be with you, Chris. So as far as how soon to start saving for retirement, immediately. So on those first jobs, especially, it's really important to get off to a good start with getting habits started early and automating your savings. So whether your employer offers a 401k plan Or if they don't, just taking control of your own retirement by getting a regular IRA or a Roth IRA started and automating those savings so you don't need to think about it. Time is just a huge ally. So getting started immediately is just critical.
So what is the first step? What do you do first?
Yeah, so the first step, I guess, is really to determine whether your employer offers a plan or not. If they do offer a plan, to go ahead and enroll as soon as you are eligible, and that's going to vary from employer to employer. Ideally, you want to be maxing out your contribution. But if you can't max out your contribution because there's just economic realities for all of us, especially when you're starting in that first job, you might not have enough excess cash flow. Make sure to contribute at least enough to get any employer matching contributions that might be available. And again, if your employer doesn't offer a plan, that doesn't mean you can't get started saving for retirement. You can go to a bank or a brokerage firm or a firm like ours that can help you get set up with a regular IRA or a Roth IRA, and again, automate those contributions just out of your checking account.
Well, you have that aspect of it, Mark, but there's also the savings for a rainy day part of it, too. And what's the rule of thumb there?
Yeah, Nick, the rainy day savings is part of any comprehensive financial plan. I would say for younger people, though, that's really going to vary depending on their own circumstances. So, when I was living with buddies out of college, I don't know that renting an apartment, that getting a rainy day fund is as important as maybe really knocking away at any school debt that you might have as you move through life, and maybe you get married and you've got kids. I think the more people are relying on you, maybe the more important having a rainy day fund becomes. But then another item in the whole financial planning list is, again, starting a young family. That's a great time to be looking at life insurance. And young people with brand new families, term life insurance is just dirt cheap and a great way to be responsible. And, again, making sure that those that are counting on you financially, that you're taking care of them in the event that something happens to you.
Mark, you may have a situation where one person's working and can avail themselves of a retirement fund while their spouse is not, perhaps. So is it then just a question of discipline for the other party to just salt some money away?
Yeah, I think it is, Nick. I think it's really just that maybe it's not dissimilar from getting into an exercise regimen of just getting into that discipline, creating good habits from the beginning, and again, automating savings. I'm just a huge fan of, because life gets complicated and to have one less thing to think about, automating those savings and starting that discipline early, you aren't even going to miss the money that might be deducted out of the checking account towards retirement. But getting started with discipline early is key.
How is this generation doing compared to the last couple of generations, the kids in their 20s now, late 20s?
Yeah, so Chris, it's interesting. The millennials in general have been, I think, a bit of a punching bag in general for people, which the data that I've seen is largely unfair, that the millennials as a generation are doing a better job than any other generation in terms of their savings rate. Where they really need to step up their game a little bit, though, is the same data suggests that they aren't investing at the same rate that previous generations were. So in other words, they're being too conservative in the savings that they're doing a great job of. So it's really two steps. It's making sure that you're saving enough, but then also making sure that you are invested appropriately. And somebody with 20, 30, or 40 years to go in retirement, they just shouldn't even be bothered by the day-to-day movements in the stock market. The stock market over those kinds of long time periods has been an enormously successful investment.
Great information. Always good to have you on the program. Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook. His company's website is fairhavenwealth.com. And join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, it's Stock Picker Monday, and helping us out today, we want to call on Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Matt, what do you have for us first today?
Hi, Nick. Kind of a Brazilian theme today. Obviously, the big news from the weekend was the sort of Trump of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, really in a position to become the president. Brazil, eighth largest economy of the world. Investors, you know, those emerging market funds have not been doing well. A lot of the Latin American countries are in recession. Brazil, the biggest of them. But the reforms potentially that this candidate could bring to Brazil are really sparking investors. Brazilian stocks, most notably the Brazilian iShares Index, which I think most investors would be interested in, EWZ, up strong today. And my two stock picks as well are two major Brazilian names.
Now, you say he's going to bring reforms. What have been the key problems in Brazil, and what does he propose to do about them?
Well, during the decade of growth from 2003 to about 2010, with commodities and emerging markets, Brazil was growing 5% a year. However, there's tremendous graft and corruption. And one of my stocks, Petrobras, the biggest oil company with the largest offshore oil reserves essentially in the world, was part of that. All contracts were paying off certain political candidates and all the right. So out of nowhere, Jair, who represents, of course, troubling to many, you know, a right-wing sort of style candidacy like Trump. However, investors really like the potential for deep economic reforms to bring Brazil out of this recession.
What's your second pick today, Matt?
Well, the second pick is Brazil's answer to sort of Walmart, Best Buy, and Amazon, which is Magazine Luiza, which sells appliances, home goods, and everything, has a very strong online presence, dominant in Brazil. It's been the phenomenal stock in the Brazilian stock market. It's kind of expensive, about a 40 PE, but it's really well positioned for strong consumer spending if indeed Brazil pulls out of this recession.
Very interesting picks today. Thanks for joining us, Matt. Matt Shapiro is president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. And you'll find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour, at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:53. When searching for improved Chicago truck driving jobs, search Snyder Jobs, Stock Picker Monday, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. BM News Time at 12:55. Time to bring you up to date on the latest market news, sponsored by Lakeside Bank. Here's Elisa Brenny.
Nick, the Dow is down 82 points now, or a third of a percent, and the NASDAQ sinking 92. That's a loss of more than 1%. S&P lower by 13. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 0.4%. So the stock market is still licking its wounds from last week's surging bond market, and trade with China is once again a concern. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with his counterpart in Beijing and was told the U.S. is escalating the trade dispute. The largest U.S. carmaker is having a harder time selling its vehicles in the world's largest market. General Motors sales in China dropped 15% in the last 3 months in trade war. That was a factor. But so is China's slowing economy. GM sold 4 million vehicles in China last year. That was more than in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico combined. Crude oil futures coming back from deeper losses, right now at $74.20 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.